This is Husband Revealing Magical Lemonade, or How Chris Learned to Keep Calm and Just Go With It. American Idol Season 8 RPF Story, written by Moira Riordan and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing of Chris Allen, Adam Lambert.
I'm a little pawn still in your game, and you ignore my advances. I turn my head and I look away, but I can't control my eyes are on you, yeah.
It wasn't like he got hit by lightning or fell into a vat of nuclear waste or anything. He just, took a potion. Accidentally. In his defense, the potion looked a whole lot like a glass of lemonade, and it was just sitting on the kitchen counter one day, and Chris had just gotten in from mowing the lawn, and he was hot, and also a teenage boy, so he just grabbed it and drank, throwing his mom a weird look when she shrieked, dropping a platter of cupcakes on the floor. Plus, it tasted like lemonade too, so how was he supposed to know? And it's not like she ever told him that she did sorcery on the side to raise extra cash. Kind of an important freaking secret, if you ask Chris. And it makes all those lectures about hiding his bad report cards from her pretty hypocritical. So, he's telepathic. Whatever. It's not like it's really strong or anything. Just from time to time, something about the arrangement of the stars and the juxtaposition of Uranus and Jupiter's second and fourth moons. He can't, like, hear people's thoughts or anything most of the time. Sometimes he'll get little snippets, fragments of sentences, or impressions of emotions. There's also this instinct that comes along with it. He's not sure if it's telepathy or luck or fate or what, but he always has this little voice or feeling, whatever you want to call it, guiding him down the right path. Or what he hopes is the right path, since he's been totally listening to it since he was 17. It's what made him break up with Katie the second she started hinting about marriage. What made him skip the American Idol auditions when Kale started bugging him to try out. What made him take that job in San Francisco. What made him walk into the particular bar where he got the regular gig doing the Saturday night shows. What made him turn down that first record contract before accepting the second, much more sensible one. What made him most recently accept the offer to present an MTV award with Adam Lambert, American Idol winner, and total stud. His assistant's words, not Chris's. Well, maybe Chris's, to himself when nobody's around, but whatever. It's the first time he thinks that his psychic powers / magical lemonade has steered him wrong. Since the minute he meets Adam Lambert, total stud, he's hit with a headache strong enough to make him stagger in place, grasping for the nearest solid surface to keep from toppling to the floor. Holy, are you okay? A big hand on his neck, a concerned voice that Chris barely registers through the haze of pain. Hey, go get someone. Well, I don't know, fuck, call 911 if you have to. He could be having an aneurysm or something. Then, as quickly as the pain had hit, it's gone, leaving Chris running through every curse word he knows silently, in multiple languages, head spinning, a rambling voice pounding at the insides of his skull. Like, shit, he's cute, but I don't know CPR. Wait, nope, CPR is for people who are, like, passed out, not head injuries. What's the emergency procedure for head injuries? Fuck, he looks really pale. This is freaky. Could you please shut up? Chris asks, pressing at his temple. Sorry, pretend I was polite. Me? He wants me to shut up? That's kind of cool, actually. Chris Allen wants me to shut up. I should tell Brad. Or someone else. There's a lot of noise, I guess. Hey, is that Chase Crawford? Oh, he looks a little better. More color. Maybe I shouldn't have told that chick to call 911. She looked a little freaked out. Why is he staring at me like that? Chris is staring at Adam Lambert like that, because while Chris can clearly hear Adam Lambert talking, Adam Lambert is not moving his mouth. At all. Chris says. Adorable, thinks Adam, And Chris starts to freak out. "Are you okay?" Adam asks, voice sounding exactly the same as his inner voice, which Chris can still hear, even though it's never been that clear before. Oh my fucking god. "Do you need a doctor or something? I sent someone to call 911, but you don't seem to be in pain anymore." "No," Chris blurts, backing up and away from the voice, treating Chris on a diatribe about aspirin brands and the likelihood of that guy by the vending machine actually being Chase Crawford, all at the same time somehow. I get these headaches. I'm sorry. I have to go." "Okay," says Adam, sounding a little baffled. "Nice to meet you." Sure, Chris says, and bolts. "Nice ass," he hears, as he throws himself into the elevator. Holy fucking shit. After freaking out for a suitable amount of time, he attempts to call his mother and ask her, delicately, if there is some kind of caveat on the magical lemonade where Chris can hear the thoughts of power gay glam rock reality television stars. This, predictably, does not go as planned. "Did you meet Adam Lambert?" his mother squeals. "Oh, honey, get me an autograph! That's amazing! He was my favorite. I must have voted for him a million times. And I even got Russell to vote, too." "Mama," Chris says, "that's not the point." He pauses. "You got Russell to vote?" "He has a cell phone, too, you know," Kim replies. "He's a dead bartender you accidentally reanimated in a lab experiment," Chris replies. "That doesn't mean he doesn't have friends," Kim chides. "Don't be narrow-minded." "Okay," Chris says patiently. "There really is no other response. I'll get you an autograph. In the meantime, could you maybe do some research or something? Because I have to present an award with the guy, and I kind of ran out on dress rehearsal, and..." "Did you say you could hear all his thoughts?" Kim interrupts. "Or just the ones about you?" "Chase Crawford," Chris thinks. "All of them." There's a long pause, and when she speaks again, she sounds teary. "Oh, honey," she says, "I'm so happy for you." Bewilderment is a common state when speaking with his mother. He replies. "What?" "I knew this day would come, and, well, I'll be honest, he's not exactly who I'd be picturing, but I'm hardly one to argue with the fates." She laughs brightly. "Oh, Chris, I'm so glad. Your father will be a little difficult, but that's all right. He voted for the other one. Danny Gokey, I mean. But he'll come around. I think he was just being contrary. You know your father." "Mama," Chris cuts in. "What are you talking about?" "You and Adam, of course," Kim says, and laughs again. "You'll have to bring him by the next time you come home." "But why?" Oh, I'm so sorry," Kim laughs. "I keep forgetting. Chris, he's your soulmate." "What?" says Chris, and trips over his own feet, stumbling headfirst into his fridge. 20 minutes and an ice pack later, Chris is sitting on his kitchen floor, trying to pray while his mother yaps on speakerphone. "I thought I told you," Kim says. "I could have sworn I told you. I was just talking about it to Russell the other day, and he thought I told you, too." "Russell has the memory of an Alzheimer's patient," Chris says impatiently. "He still thinks my name is Ken." "Well, if you came home more often, maybe..." "Mother!" Chris says, just this side of hysterical. "Can you please get back to the explaining part? Please?" "Maybe I should pop over there," Kim says. "You sound a little upset." "I'm not upset," Chris says shrilly. "You sound upset." "I'm fine." "Well, I have some pop-and-go dust around here somewhere." "No, Mama, seriously, not the pop-and-go. Oh, settle. It'll just be a second. Just a little pop. Mama, please. And go. With a burst of pink smoke and a breeze of wind chimes, Kim pops into Chris's kitchen, causing Chris to topple backward in shock. There we go. So messy. Mama, oh my god, I hate it when you do that. Don't be dramatic, Kim says, frowning. Why are you on the floor? Are you hurt? No. Chris scrambles to his feet. I'm fine. I told you I didn't need you to come. It's not a big deal, Kim says sweetly, brushing pink dust off her shoulders, adjusting her hat carefully. What is that thing on your head? Chris asks slowly. My new sorcery hat, Kim replies, flicking one of the bells. You don't like it? Russell made it. Chris eyes the bright yellow and blue lace warily, the hodgepodge contraption flopping precariously on her head. It brings out your eyes? Aw, thank you, Kim beams. Oh, Chris, when was the last time you did your dishes? I've been kinda busy. Mama, you don't have to... Well, I wouldn't have to if you did it, now would I? Hold my hat. Be careful of the glitter stickers. Chris often has moments where he seriously considers the possibility that he's actually in a coma and his whole life up to this point has been a delirious fever dream. That he is destined to be Adam Lambert's wife is obviously a side effect of the Valium or something. Well, you did take a destiny-revealing potion, Kim says logically, elbow deep in Chris's sink. Psychic! Chris exclaims. Psychic potion! No, honey, Kim says with a laugh. Where'd you get that idea? Because I am psychic, Ma. Of course you're not, Kim says. If you were psychic, you would hear everyone's thoughts. Plus some inanimate objects, too, depending on their psychotropic levels. But the stars and the Jupiter moons and Uranus! Well, sweetie, you see, it was a very special type of potion, Kim says calmly. I was in an experimental phase, and I found this old book from the Middle Ages. But anyway, it's something they used to use on young maidens of marriageable age to help guide them to their future husbands. Chris gapes at her. You're telling me I took a husband-finding potion? Yep, says Kim cheerily. The little voice in your head you told me about, you know, it was leading you down your right path. The right path to Adam, that is. She smiles wickedly. Oh, kudos, sweetie. He's very dreamy. Dreamy? What? No! Chris shakes his head. Why didn't you tell me? If I'd known I was following some Middle Ages husband-finding potion, I totally wouldn't have listened to it. Well, why not? Kim says. From all my research, everyone who took the potion ended up very happy. It does reveal your true destiny, you know. Just specifically, your romantic destiny. Maybe... I do not even know what that means, Chris says crisply. Watch your tone, Kim says breezily. It means you would have met Adam anyway, though, sweetie. This way just took you to him quicker. But I don't even know him, Chris says helplessly. Kim pats his shoulder sympathetically, leaving a damp spot on Chris's shirt. Well, you better get on that, then, she says. You should invite him for Thanksgiving. Mama, Chris says in frustration. That's not... Okay, never mind. Why can I read his thoughts? Well, Kim says, tapping one soapy finger on her chin thoughtfully. As far as I could tell, it was so the young maiden would recognize the right man, and also for, you know, she smiles innocently. Other things. Oh my god! Chris exclaims in horror. On one hand, it's like, why does the woman have to be the mind reader? To take care of the man's every want and need, of course, like always. But I guess with you two, that issue really doesn't apply. Kim grins. I'm sure that you boys can figure out a way to even it out, tit for tat. Or tat for tat, I guess. Oh my god! Oh, please. Like, I don't know how that works, Kim says. I'm not some hick from the boondocks, Christopher. Oh, stop blushing. You're an adult now. We can talk about these things. I don't want to talk about sex with you, Mama, no matter how old I am. Well, why not? Like, I didn't know you swung the other way. If you thought that you and that Shane boy from college were subtle, you're kidding yourself. And what's his name? That you had a thing with last year. The actor from that hero show. How do you know about that? Chris asks. Nobody knows about that. He's in the closet. We had to meet in secret. It's my job to know, Kim says mysteriously. I have to keep an eye on you somehow. Okay, Chris says slowly. That's incredibly scary, but I don't want to know. That's probably a good idea, Kim nods. Right. Look, is there any way to stop it? Chris asks desperately. Like, a second potion to get rid of the first one or something? There's no way to reverse a destiny-revealing potion, Kim says, sounding aghast. I'm not some second-rate amateur magician who mixes potions in her bathtub. I'm a professional. Okay, okay, Chris says, holding up his hands. But there's gotta be something, Mama. I have to present an award with the guy. On national television. There's no way I can do that while hearing every thought that runs through his head. Well, you're gonna have to get used to it. No, I can't, Chris interrupts sternly. Mama, doesn't it strike you as a bit unethical? I'm supposed to, what, marry this guy while being able to hear everything he thinks? You don't think that's a little unfair, that he gets no privacy even in his own head? Kim deflates slightly. Well, okay, that's a good point. Thank you, Chris says, triumphant. I suppose I can whip something up, she says reluctantly. A blocking charm, maybe? Yes, that should work. Of course, it'll only be in effect while you're wearing it, so... She trails off, widening her eyes innocently. In situations where you would be, you know, taking things off, you should be aware that... Mama! Well, I'm just warning you. It has to be good enough, right? Chris can't imagine any situation in which he and Adam Lambert would not be wearing jewelry with each other, so it should be fine. Even if he is Chris's destined husband or whatever, he's still way out of Chris's league, not to mention the whole scene Chris had made at dress rehearsal. Obviously, there's no way Adam would be interested in taking off Chris's jewelry, or that he'd be interested in Chris's jewelry even if Chris hadn't acted like a total freak when they first met. So, he doesn't have anything to worry about. Would you like to get a drink with me? What? Chris turns to look up at Adam, causing the stage director to clap her hands angrily. Chris hastily moves back on his mark, turning back toward the random assistant supposed to represent the camera. A drink. Adam's voice is hushed, too quiet to be heard by the milieu of assistants and production people milling around on the stage, debating who even knows what while they wait for Steve, who apparently has the cue cards. An alcoholic beverage, sometimes enjoyed by two people who would like to get to know each other better. Right. You want to have a drink with me? Chris asks, just as hushed. It's weird not looking at him, but they're standing pretty close behind the fancy podium thing, and Chris can smell his cologne, which isn't helping. Yes, Adam replies. Say no, say no, say no, thinks Chris. Okay, he says. Adam turns and smiles widely. Great. The director claps again, and they both turn back hastily. I know a good place. We can go after Directionzilla runs out of evil juice. Awesome, Chris says weakly. He has zero willpower. At least he can't hear Adam's thoughts anymore, thanks to his mother's blocking charm/jewelry, This is a plus. I love your necklace, is the first thing Adam says, pulling Chris into what looks like a cross between a bar and a thrift store. Me too, Chris says emphatically, ducking past a rack of leather jackets. What? Isn't this cool? Shopping and drinking. Brilliant, Adam says, grinning. My ex runs it. Sort of. Well, he sometimes shows up and pretends like he's in charge, but I think it counts. Anyway, what do you drink? Beer's fine, Chris says. Whatever's on tap. Coming right up, Adam says, and disappears between two coat racks overflowing with scarves. Chris blinks after him, bemused and charmed and kind of resentful all at once. The tables are interspersed randomly between the various tables and racks of merchandise, the bar hidden at the back, next to the biggest jukebox that Chris has ever seen in his life, pumping out a solid stream of pop music. Chris picks one next to a table of clutch purses, arranged in the pattern of a peace symbol. Is the music okay? Adam asks, sliding into a chair across from Chris, two glasses of amber liquid in hand. I could get them to turn it down if it's too loud. What? Chris asks. Your headaches? Oh, Chris says. No, it's fine, thank you, but they're really rare for me. Adam nods, grimacing in sympathy. Well, that's good. You freaked the hell out of me the other day. I thought you were going to pass out there for a second. So did I. Chris sips at his beer, drumming his fingers nervously on the table. I'm a little surprised you wanted to prolong our relationship, actually. I normally do a bit better with first impressions. I think you did just fine, Adam says smoothly, plucking a napkin from the center of the table and creasing it with his fingernails. You dig the damsel in distress thing, huh? On occasion, Adam says, grinning. You seem like you can take care of yourself, too. That's important. Chris is kind of fascinated by whatever Adam's doing with the napkin, the motion of his hands mesmerizing. Important for what, exactly? Adam shrugs innocently. Lots of things, he says vaguely, making one last adjustment to the napkin and handing it over. It's a tiny origami box. Chris is pretty impressed. It even has legs that stand up on their own. Wow. It's the only thing I know how to make, Adam says sheepishly. But it's a nervous habit. I have a zillion of them at home. I'm so adding this to your Wikipedia page, Chris teases. Facts about Adam Lambert. His ex owns a bar/clothing boutique. He pretends to like beer, but he really doesn't. He makes origami boxes. Adam sets his glass aside. I totally thought I was being stealth. Chris laughs. The look on your face when you tried to take a drink was the opposite of stealth, man. Adam shrugs, unconcerned. It's a little trick I have. Order the same thing as the guy you're trying to impress. It's like a psychological thing. You're trying to impress me? Chris asks. It doesn't sound any less absurd when he says it. Well, Adam cocks his head. Facts about Chris Allen. Award-winning songwriter and artist. Has horrible but rare headaches. Is totally hot. He nods once. Yep, definitely trying to impress here. Chris feels a suspicious little flutter in his chest vicinity. That's definitely not a good sign. Well, he says, I don't know if it's quite working yet. You better keep trying. Of course. Adam immediately goes along with it, which causes another evil flutter. Chris is a sucker for people who humor him. It's a thing. I have a backup plan. That ex, he's hiding in the back room, waiting for my text so he can come out here and talk me up. Wow. I think I saw a Friends episode like that once. That may have been where we got the idea, Adam says, scrunching up his face completely adorably. And damn it, Chris is so screwed. But you're gonna be so blown away, I promise. He's going to tell you about how awesome I am. The phrase great lay will probably be overused. That sounds like a great plan. I think I'll be very impressed. I know, right? Adam grins happily. You're gonna love it. Swear. Chris does, in fact, love it. And he loves Brad, aka the ex, who is pretty much exactly the kind of guy Chris imagined Adam would date. He emerges grandly from behind the bar, plopping down between Chris and Adam, and spitting out a monotone, obviously rehearsed speech, on Adam's awesome personality qualities, before rolling his eyes and downing half of Adam's abandoned beer. There. Done. You now owe me one. Chris instantly likes him. The execution of this doesn't really live up to your hype. Adam scowls at Brad. Fucker. Brad smiles sweetly. You never said anything about my tone. He monopolizes the conversation until Adam gets impatient and tells him to scram, which he does, but not before slipping his phone number and a demo tape into Chris's pocket somehow. The bitch is relentless, sighs Adam. Okay, maybe not such a brilliant plan. Should have factored in that Brad would continue to be, Brad. I don't know, Chris says, despite himself. I was definitely impressed by the reverse pickpocketing, and curious about Val Kilmer. Adam groans. Ugh, don't ask. Brad is a dick, and, well, it's not as seedy as it sounds. Really? Maybe. A little less seedy? Like, a fraction? Adam says. Chris laughs. I'm sure. Adam ends up buying Chris a hat, too. A knit beanie with a funny little spiral design around the rim. Chris doesn't think he can pull it off, considering it's bright blue. But Adam stuffs it on his head and declares him awesome. Goofy, he declares. But it works. Oh, great. It's always been my dream to be compared to a cartoon dog, Chris says, but leaves the hat on anyway. Adam insists on giving Chris a ride home after they leave, even though Chris is perfectly capable of calling a car to come pick him up. They bicker over the radio on the way, and Adam walks Chris to his door. And Chris finds it charming, what the hell? And they end up making out for like 10 minutes on the front stoop. It's only when Adam slides his hand beneath Chris's collar and, incidentally, the cord holding the blocking charm around his neck that he pulls back. Rather abruptly. Sorry, I... No big, Adam replies, taking a step back, smiling. We have time. That wasn't exactly why Chris had pulled back, but whatever. Right. I'll call you, Adam says, squeezing Chris's hand. And the flutter's definitely not going anywhere. Noted. I'll answer, Chris replies, and Adam grins, wide and pleased. So, dating Adam Lambert is kind of awesome. The only possible drawback is that his mother is ecstatic. I approve. I approve so much! I'm aware, Mama, Chris replies dryly. Russell approves, too, Kim says enthusiastically. In the background, Chris can hear Russell's boisterous, albeit slightly slurred, voice singing the national anthem at the top of his lungs. You hear him? That's what he does when he's happy. Right. If you don't bring him home soon, I will pop over there and meet him myself. Don't think I won't. Chris feels a stab of panic. I really, really believe you, but can we possibly refrain from completely traumatizing the guy? Please? I'm not going to traumatize him, Kim protests. Oh, fudge, Chris. I'm going to have to call you back. Russell's arm fell off again. Chris just closes his eyes, resigned. It's pretty much the worst idea he's ever had, though, and that includes the time when he'd let Daniel set him up on a blind date. It turned out to be Katie's sister, because Daniel really is sick enough in the head to find that funny. And it's not because of Adam himself, no. The actual act of dating him is, as already established, awesome. Amazingly awesome, actually. It's that Chris can't be sure if Adam is really dating him because he wants to date Chris, or if it's all a result of the freaky husband-finding magical lemonade, not to mention the issues that might arise Should Adam ever discover that his necklace is the only thing keeping him from being intimately familiar with every thought that runs through Adam's head? It's just, he can't ever see it working long term. Chris can't logically wear the necklace every minute of every day for the rest of his life. And once Adam finds out, he's gonna be paranoid that Chris is invading his privacy constantly. And even if Chris wears the charm all the time, could Adam ever really trust that Chris won't take it off during a fight or something? And it's not like Chris really would want to be privy to every thought Adam has, especially if the thoughts about himself ever became not so awesome. And really, the whole thing makes Chris kind of sick. It just figures then that Adam is kind of perfect for him. He's fun and full of energy, and even when Chris is in the worst mood to beat all other bad moods, he still manages to make him laugh. And he's sweet and kind to an absolute fault, not to mention polite, and his friends are all eclectic and wonderful. He is attentive, too, and remembers everything, and can read Chris as if they'd known each other for years rather than just a few weeks. He's not a pushover, though, and calls Chris on his bullshit, which is incredibly refreshing after being surrounded by Hollywood yes-men 24/7 for the past 2 years. And he's achingly hot, but not arrogant, and somehow doesn't realize how rare that is to find in a person. He's this mix of worldly LA glamour and unassuming small-town sweetness that is intoxicating and amazing and a million other synonyms that Chris usually saves for his songs. He's a lot like Katie and Shane and a few other people Chris has dated, but all in different ways. Like God had scooped up all the qualities that made Chris like them and dumped them all in Adam, a ready-made, custom quality boyfriend. It's ironic. Or something. But no, seriously. He's really hot. It's probably the worst part. "Is this your first time?" he asks gently. The third time, Chris awkwardly stops him from shedding Chris's shirt, nervous about the necklace. "What?" Chris asks, surprised. "No." "I mean, with a guy." Adam looks a little pained, but still sympathetic. "You've never dated..." "No," Chris says, wanting to laugh at himself and the situation. "No, I have. Not publicly, but I have. That's not what this is." "Okay," Adam replies, grimacing and laying his hands very carefully on Chris's forearms. "Well, it's just... And I'm not pressuring you at all, but this is the 8th time we fooled around and...
You kept track?"
Chris asks incredulously. "Yes," Adam says defensively. "It's... Well, I'm just wondering if it's something I'm doing or not doing. I don't know." Chris bites his lip. "Are you religious? Like a no sex before marriage thing?" Adam asks. "Because I think you might be waiting a while on that one. Unless you plan on marrying a girl." "No," Chris says, snorting. "No, definitely not a virgin. I'm not in the closet either, I'm just..." He sighs. "Nervous? Because, He stops, trying to come up with something that isn't completely and utterly insane. Adam studies him for a second before his face clears. "Because of your scar?" Chris pauses. "What? I've felt it. You have a scar on your stomach, right?" Adam asks. "Are you self-conscious about it?" "Yes," Chris says, grasping onto the excuse with a shameful amount of relief. "Yes, that's exactly it. My scar. It's big and hideous, and I'm totally embarrassed." "Oh, baby," Adam says, grinning. "That's kind of adorable." "Don't make fun of my trauma," Chris protests. "And ridiculous," Adam continues warmly. "This is why I've had constant blue balls for the past month. Like some stupid scar could change my mind about how gorgeous you are." "Oh," Chris feels a weird rush of combined lust and fuzzy affection, torn between hugging Adam and blowing him. "Can I see?" Adam asks, sliding his hands to the edges of Chris's t-shirt. Chris nods his assent, and Adam slides the shirt upwards until the scar is exposed, humming to himself and running his tongue along the raised line of skin, causing Chris to arch upwards with a gasp. "It's kinda hot," Adam says, resting his chin on Chris's belly button. Chris exhales shakily in response. "How'd you get it?" "Surgery," Chris says, feeling Adam's chin rising and falling with every breath. "I got sick on a mission trip once." "Sounds horrible," Adam comments casually, fingers pressing promises into Chris's bare sides. "Are you all better now?" he asks, twisting it into dirty innuendo. "Screw it," Chris thinks. "He can leave the necklace on during sex." "Not yet," he says, and strips his shirt off himself, careful not to take the charm with it. "I think there's something we can do about it, though." "Finally," Adam says, and Chris laughs, pulling him down into a filthy kiss. He can't say he doesn't agree. "So, my mother's coming to visit?" Chris says cautiously. "Really? Awesome! Can I meet her?" Adam looks up, chin on his knee, halfway through painting his toenails with raspberry sensation. "Unless that's too fast or something." "Well, the only reason she's coming is because of you," Chris says. "She's kind of a fan." "Aw, really?" Adam shrugs, somehow making it into a happy gesture rather than a confused or bashful one. "That's so cool." So... Chris flops on the bed next to him, ignoring Adam's cry of protest as he lifts his foot away protectively. "She's kind of... unique." "Are you trying to warn me that your family is embarrassing?" Adam asks nonchalantly. "Because that's like a rule of thumb for families. I did tell you the Brad meets Eber story, right?" "Right, but see... my family is not like other families," Chris says seriously. "When most people say they have embarrassing families, they're thinking about baby photos or pet names that went on way too long. But not my family, okay? Quit laughing!" Adam ignores him, collapsing back against the headboard. "I'm serious. Adam, I have never introduced my mother to anyone I've dated before, for a reason." "She sounds awesome," Adam says enthusiastically. "Shut your mouth," Chris warns. "I'm not kidding. You're going to be freaked out and you're going to dump me because you're so terrified of my gene pool." "You're overreacting," Adam says, patting Chris's knee. "I'm sure we'll get along great." "That's sort of what I'm afraid of," Chris mutters, uncomforted. "This is going to be a disaster." "Don't be dramatic," Kim says, adjusting her improved sorcery hat. "It's green now." "I'm not that embarrassing." Chris isn't going to touch that. "Please, please do not mention anything about magic," he pleads. "Or psychophysics, or alchemy, or necromancy, and that includes Russell." "What about no?" Chris says firmly. Kim pouts. "Fine," she says. "I'm keeping the hat, though." Chris sighs, hearing the doorbell ring ominously. "I figured," he says, marching his death row walk toward the front door. Adam is dressed to impress. Apparent, anyway. He's not even wearing eyeshadow. Chris appreciates the effort so much, he doesn't even have the heart to tell him that his mother is the only person in his family that this effort is wasted on. "Mrs. Allen, it's so nice to meet you, and... wow, look at that hat!" "Thank you," Kim adjusts it proudly. "Call me Kim. My gosh, you are tall in person." "I get that a lot," Adam says, still eyeing the towering contraption on her head with a mixture of awe and incredulity. "Did you make that yourself?" "Oh, no, Russell made it for me." "Who's nobody?" Chris says quickly. Hey, let's go set the table, yeah? Adam shoots him a weird look, and Kim steps in, taking Adam's arm, patting it comfortably.
He's very nervous, she stage whispers, and Adam laughs.
I am not. You hush, Kim says. Adam and I are going to talk for a bit, and you can go set the table. She raises her eyebrows expectantly, and a piece of fluff flutters down from the hat onto the floor. Go on. Chris grumbles, turning away reluctantly. As he nears the kitchen, he hears, So is it true about you and Val Kilmer? And groans to himself. He somehow refrains from eavesdropping, although it's a close call when he hears Adam's full-throated laugh mixing with his mother's tinkly giggles. When he goes back in to get them, though, they're talking about music, a relatively safe topic. All through dinner, actually, they somehow manage to avoid any danger zones, including but not limited to Kim's side job, her zombie bartender lab assistant, or Chris's husband-revealing magical lemonade. It's kind of a miracle. Dessert, though, is a different story. So, Kim announces, I'd just like to say that I'm very happy for you two, for the record. Thank you, Adam says, smiling sweetly. That's really nice of you to say. It just warms my heart, Kim says, eyes suspiciously teary, that you've found each other. It just goes to show that when you put your faith in destiny, she always comes through in the end. That's beautiful, Adam says genuinely. Chris attempts to hide in his ice cream dish. Especially, Kim says. Mama, Chris warns. When you use potions, Kim laughs. I guess that made it a little easier, but that's okay. Everyone gets a cheat sheet every once in a while. Potions? Adam says, laughing uncertainly. She's being metaphorical, Chris says hastily. Like a potion of faith. Yeah. What? Kim asks. No, I mean a potion of shaved pearl wax and conditioner treated sphinx hair. Chris laughs nervously. Funny, Mama. Wait, ew, that's what was in that? Kim shrugs. Adam looks between them hesitantly. Well, that sounds fun, he says. You make potions, Kim? No, says Chris, at the same time as Kim's. Yes! Oh, Adam says blankly. You didn't tell him? Kim asks, frowning. Well, mister, I'm so worried about the ethical implications of the situation. Mama, Chris says sharply, remember that conversation about not traumatizing my nice boyfriend? I'm traumatizing him? You gave me the blocking thing, okay? I don't see what... Informed consent, Christopher. It's very important. You're the one who wanted me to ask him out. You were all, oh, husband finding, blah, 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 Middle Ages, blah, 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 Thanksgiving. Well, I assumed you'd tell him. Guys, Adam cuts in, looking between them as if it's a fast-paced tennis match of insanity. What are you talking about? Tell me what? Kim crosses her arms, glaring at Chris. Well? Chris slumps in resignation. Well, it was nice while it lasted. Mama, could you give us some privacy, please? Kim harumphs. I'll be back in 1 hour, she says warningly, reaching into a hidden pocket in her hat and pulling out some suspiciously familiar-looking pink dust. Mama, no, use the door! Pop. Holy shit! Adam exclaims, jumping up and knocking his chair over. Did she just... Chris groans. Disappear into thin air? Kinda. Chris! Adam says, aghast. Your mother is... I know, Chris sighs heavily. Look, I know it's crazy, and I know you might be pissed off at me. You're damn right I'm pissed off at you, Adam exclaims.
Why didn't you tell me your mom was a sorceress?
Chris gapes at him.
What?
Pop! Sorry, forgot my ice cream. Kim leans down, grabbing her dish.
Oh, fudge, the pop-and-go dust got in it.
Wait, so let me get this straight, Chris says.
You're a sorcerer, and you thought I knew?
Apprentice sorcerer, Adam corrects.
It's really just a hobby.
And don't you remember that conversation we had about secrets?
I thought we were talking about being gay, Chris says, baffled.
But we're both out of the closet, Adam says, puzzled. No, I was totally talking about magic. And that talisman you're always wearing?
Adam nods at Chris's blocking charm.
It's obviously a blocking spell of some kind. I thought you'd been cursed or something.
And that's why you never actually brought it up?
Chris asks, eyebrows raised to his hairline.
I thought it would be traumatic, Adam says plaintively.
You're so touchy about your scar. I thought it was, you know, your dark past.
I got sick,
Chris says a little incredulously. I had surgery. That's pretty much it.
Oh,
Adam says, a little deflated.
Then what's the talisman about?
Chris sighs.
Well, see, this is the part where you dump me,
he says apprehensively. I took this potion a long time ago, and it... Well, I can sort of read your mind.
Adam's eyes shoot wide open. Oh my god! He exclaims. You took a destiny-revealing potion? Your mom can make a destiny-revealing potion?
You know what it is?
Of course I know what it is! It's only the most awesomest potion ever!
Adam says excitedly.
Your mom must be really good if she can pull that off. Pearl wax and sphinx hair, I should have recognized it. Oh, that's why you had the migraine. It was kicking in.
I guess, Chris says hesitantly.
You don't care?
Are you kidding? I've always wanted to take that thing. It's just that Brad's not so good with potions, and it's way too advanced. He's home apprentice to, by the way, after Lee got married and gave it up.
But, oh my god, why are you blocking it?
Because it means I can read your mind, Chris says disbelievingly.
You'd have no privacy, and I don't want to, like, coerce you into a relationship or feel obligated because you're supposed to be my husband or whatever.
Chris, Adam interrupts, smiling with all his teeth. Do you even know what the destiny-revealing potion is?
Yes,
Chris says defensively.
I don't think you do, Adam replies. Look, it doesn't create anything that isn't there. It reveals what already is, so get that out of your head, coercion. Pfft.
He shakes his head decisively.
Plus, you can't read my mind all the time, only when you need to.
Chris blinks.
What?
Yeah, Adam says enthusiastically.
I mean, you would if I weren't trained, but I am, so it's sort of like a need-only basis type of deal. You'd only be able to hear the thoughts that you need to hear.
Are you kidding?
Nope. See?
Adam reaches out, lightning quick, and grabs the talisman, yanking it off Chris's head unceremoniously. Chris's ears pop, and he staggers backwards slightly, the air pressure around him shifting abruptly.
Ow,
he says.
I knew he was special, Adam thinks.
I'm not special, he blurts, and Adam grins.
You so are, he replies. And this is going to be awesome.
Chris says.
Adorable, Adam thinks.
Have you boys worked it out yet? Kim calls from the kitchen. I'm running out of things to clean in here.
Yes,
Chris calls, rolling his eyes.
Kim, I'm a sorcerer too,
Adam calls, grinning.
What, really? Oh my gosh, of course you are, darling, that's amazing. Oh, wait till you meet Russell, he's gonna love you.
Zombie assistant, Chris supplies. Adam gasps, eyes wide. Your mom is so cool, he says. Well, I'm glad you think so. She's gonna be popping over here all the time now, Chris says wryly. Do you really think so? Adam asks, excited. Shuffling in from the kitchen, Kim claps her hands eagerly, throwing her arms around Adam's neck. Oh, I'm so happy for you two. And you have the craft, too. Oh, how perfect. Oh, really? Adam asks, pulling back and smiling, hopefully. I mean, I'm just an apprentice, so I'm not all that great at it, but... Oh, you will be, Kim promises. It's easy peasy. I have so many things I want to teach you. It's all saved up since Chris never got into it. I have a feeling I will regret introducing you two, Chris says, backing away slowly. Yeah, right, Kim scoffs, and Adam just smirks at him wickedly. We haven't even had sex without that talisman yet, he thinks, and Chris gulps. It's destiny, Kim says in satisfaction. Oh, Chris, stop blushing. Honestly, how old are you? The end.